I know the day. I understand the day. So if you want to try to give some application to some thematic thought, you may. I won't stretch this into a particular designation. I'm just preaching the word. So I'm reading from two different passages. In fact, I rarely do this because I like for you to remember a singular one. But today I'm pressing you a little bit to bring every thought into captivity and hopefully you can stay with me for just a little while. I promise to let you go to eat in a little bit, but you're not going to die. If you haven't fasted for a while, just consider the next 40 minutes just getting closer to God. Matthew 27, and just one verse in that chapter for clarity's sake. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. Not Mary, the mother of Jesus. This was not very descriptive, not Mary, the other Mary. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. Amen. And now Mark chapter 14, verse 3. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, let's do that again. In the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, this was he meaning Jesus, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on the Lord's head. And I speak today that other Mary. Amen. Jesus' name. Everyone speak his name with me in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. I thank you for standing. I'll offer a bit of clarity concerning one of the Bible's oft-used instruments of perfumery. I like good cologne. When we were children, for Christmas, we'd have $5 or $10, and we would go to Walmart and buy everyone's present. My dad was the proud recipient of Aqua Velva. Came in four different colors. I like nice cologne. Just in case my sermon is not good, I smell excellent. And I'm taking no chances. As a child, I struggled with the image of the alabaster box. I've heard it so many times. The English word denotes a cuboid, a square with parallel rectangular sides, a space inside, a box. If you're having, of course, a difficult time imagining a box, then you can do what I often do, and that's just push the Amazon button, and at the church you might get one delivered to your house. It's really enjoyable to get a box delivered to your home. And they will send you a power cord in a box, and you can order them individually, and you can have a lot of boxes at your house, just one small item, if it helps you. It helps me. It's like a present, and I want to thank Amazon for that. And the box that we think of is not the same as the one found holding the precious oily fragrance in the scripture. The Greek word translated alabaster box is more akin to a flask or a jar, even more specific, a vial of carved stone. In some translations, it is alabastron, meaning a perfume case. This is a shape similar, or could have some likeness, to carved out stone vial or vase. Except the alabaster in the scripture might have been white stone. In Solomon's song, the beloved one has legs like alabaster columns. Whose husbands have alabaster legs? We'll move on. Thus, pillars of marble, hints of swirling of dark chocolate interlaced in the white marble. And the breaking of the box is not the shattering of the stone or the glass, as we might consider. The box of wood in my youthful mind never made sense by virtue of its material. Who breaks a box? No, when the alabaster box was broken, it simply meant what sealed it shut, what kept it closed or secure or covered, hidden, was broken open. The seal was broken. A hardened, waxed seal, sometimes mixed with a little clay. It was a small opening that was sealed off or kept closed, shutting out any air from the outside. It was the keeping that was concealed with some man-made item, mixture. Any oily fragrance, any perfume could not escape because the seal was the keeping of it. And that was the thing that was broken. Not a wooden frame. Not the breaking of glass or the shattering of stone. It was the seal. A wood is a natural substance. Stone is simply carved from the bedrock of the earth. But the seal is man-made. It's a man-made thing. It hid the substance of something for a future date. It bound the oil from the air. It kept the fragrance from being revealed and shrouded it from those who carried the alabastron, the unrevealed, unknown, purposely disguised, lost to the outside world. It was that other Mary, not the mother of Jesus. There are some scholars who might argue that it was Mary Magdalene, but each time Mary Magdalene is found in the scripture, she's known by both of those names, Mary from Magla, or Mary Magdalene. She's never spoken of in just with one name. It was her whole name, the location of her origin. We might understand it as the first and last name, though that might not exactly be akin to our English language. Maybe Mary Magdalene, maybe it was her, but it's unlikely. It looks like it was that other Mary who walked with Mary Magdalene, who went to the sepulcher of Jesus to finish the anointing process for the body of the Lord, who mused, who is going to roll back the stone? And seeing that Mary, or Miriam, as her name, Miriam, Mary, as in the bitter waters of Marah, which the Red Sea crossing, the Israelites encountered 3 days after the crossing of the Red Sea. They came to the waters of Marah, bitter waters. They looked at those waters so thirsty, nothing to drink, but when they went to drink the water, they smelled the rottenness of it, Marah. Mary comes from Mara, often pronounced Mertim or Moon. We're just left with the unknown, unverified Mary, just that other Mary, bitter and unknown, unmarried, cast aside, hurting and ashamed, so in need and having nothing left to lose but to find Jesus. And she would have been left that way, but she carried her treasure of precious ointment and entered the house of the healed man, Simon the leper. Oh, Simon. How could it be that Simon the leper could host a dinner at his house? Lepers are castaways. They were forced beyond the boundaries of societal allowances. The sick were welcomed, yes. The wounded were given shelter. Those who had multiple infirmities found refuge among friends and family, and the whole community would help them, but not the leper. Doctors, so many of them, visited and cared for the wealthy woman who had 12 years of issues with her own blood. She was bleeding. She had a disease. But the leper was banished. No one touched the leper. That was the consternation of the religious people who saw Jesus reach out and touch the leper. The leper was beyond the scope of the human touch. They were bound in cloth, binding up their oozing skin, banished to the outer perimeter of the limits of society. Self-announced they had to be. They had but a few tasks. First to be removed, and then the second to call out to all those unsuspecting travelers, leprosy! Whoa! Be careful! We are diseased. There are no cures. Simon was one of them. Simon the leper, but he's home now. And in his house, he's serving, he's hosting a meal. Much like the blind man in John chapter 9, even after he was healed, his identity never changed. The now seen, healed, restored blind man said, whether he be a sinner or no, I don't know. All I know is that I was blind, but now I see. But they still called him the blind man. How is it that he's called Simon the leper or the blind man? Who said those words? The Bible still refers to him as this man who was blind, or the blind man, or Simon. The blind man is seen, but his description is the reflection of where he came from, not his present state. It is a testimony, a powerful, revealing testimony that anyone could stand up and say, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Where did those phrases go? Lost. Who can say lost? Who's not afraid to say, I was lost, but now I'm found? The redeemed casting their past away, but clinging to the shards of what cut their very soul. Simon the leper. He's no longer living as a leper. He is no longer an outcast, huddling in the dark shadows, forgotten and alone. But now he is the host, the house of the healed, just known still as Simon the leper, because that is his testimony. It was the Lord who did the work for Simon the leper. And I wonder how many people are in this house today who are not ashamed to say, I was blind. Leper, lame, crippled, I was lost and wounded, rejected, I was angry, I was judgmental, hateful, diseased by vain philosophy and living out my best carnal life. Blind, but now I can see. Leper, but now I'm cleansed. Lame, but now I can walk. Crippled, but I'm strong. Wounded, but now I'm mended. Who can say rejected, but today through the touch of the Lord Jesus, I am accepted. I'm not rejected. Let's just get off the physical and just say this. I was judgmental, afflicted with judgmentalism, so critical of everybody around me, but I found forgiveness and I found compassion because I found the cross. Life dealt me a bitter hand and I was angry, but I tasted of the Lord and he is good. I was diseased thinking that material assets would fill the void, but they all left me empty. Yet today, my mind and my spirit, I am content in the Lord. Broken, but today I'm walking in newness of life, restored, made into his likeness. It has to be that way, ladies and gentlemen. We do not live in a vacuum. What we used to be is the footing of our new life in Jesus Christ, and you ought not forget that. Memory loss of where the Lord brought you from is the catalyst of your demise. Simon the leper, yes, but not now. Not at the moment of the writing. Simon does not have leprosy when Jesus and everybody else walks into his home. No leper, no active leper, no diseased leper ever has anyone walk into their home. There are no dinners. There is no community for Simon the leper. But Simon the leper is a testimony of his past. He is not a debilitated man wrung out by the incurable crucible. No, he is restored because the one who came in is the one who healed him, who gave him access for everybody else. Just remember, and I hope you can grasp this with your heart, there is no recognition of Simon, and there is no recognition of us if there is no reflection of where we came from. You're never known. You will not be known until attached to you is where you came from and what the Lord did for you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you or I'm going to hurt you. I don't know. I use the phrase, I found it wasn't even mine. I'm here to comfort the disturbed and to disturb the comfortable. And I am so often distraught to hear of believers who consider themselves saved but will not say what they were saved from. If you are saved today, there must have been an origin. If you were brought out, there must have been a place where you were bound. If you were redeemed, please tell me how Jesus paid the price of his precious blood for you to be redeemed. Because there had to be a reason. You had to be indebted. You had to be lost if he redeemed you. Yeah. Simon the leper, your house ought to have hosted the Savior like he was the King of Glory. But of the three biblical entries found in the Bible listed, which retell the story, Luke breaks it down into the reality of the house. Jesus said, here is Luke 7:44. He said, do you see this woman, Simon? I came into your house. I came here. You did not give me water for my feet. You didn't wash my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears, wiped them with her hair. Now, who healed the leper? Who can heal a leper? Nobody but Jesus. You have a testimony, but your house does not reflect the blessing of the memory of your salvation. You have a testimony, but the house is not reflecting where you came from, and you've got memory loss. You got a nodding head and a sleepy eye and a folded hand and an inactivity. But the King of Glory that gave you access to get into the house, he is in the house today. I want to activate your memory. Blind, lost, drunkards, adulterers, and such were some of you. Vile, rang, angry, wroth, undone, had nothing. Listen. I got to stir something up in this house. Everywhere I go, I'm trying to stir something up among the saved. It's almost as if our churches are filled with people who think they were saved from birth, but that's not what the Bible said. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. For all have sinned, and come short of the glory of God. Wherefore, as by one man sinned into the world, death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Someone better tell Simon. Simon, you have no standalone name. You are not the man you were, but unless we can speak of your past affliction, you have no present identification. If I can't say Simon the leper, I don't know who you are. You're just a nothing and a blank. You are self. You are self, and self is cocooned in an echo chamber of religious self-justification. No wonder why some folks enter into this house of worship without thanksgiving in their hands. No wonder there are some people who enter his gates and courts without praise. They don't remember that Jesus justified them, saved them, raised them up. Here's your Bible, 1 John 2:2. And he is the propitiation of ours for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the word is not in us. Oh, Let me just step here in a moment. And Hebrews 12. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of them all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Here it is. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. The blood of Jesus has been talking about you. The blood of Jesus has been your attorney. The blood of Jesus has been the one in between you and judgment. Where are you, Tyler? Stand up. I identify. Maybe see it. The blood is not reserved for the new convert. It was also for the tenured church member and for the faithful saint who grew up in the church. It's not just reserved for that guy. It's for the children. Where are you, Hannah? Stand up, Hannah. I married you, Hannah. But before I married you, I baptized you. And before I baptized you, I dedicated you. And before I dedicated you, I married your mama and your daddy. I held you as a baby. You slobbered on my chin. I took pictures with you. You were a tall, thin, beautiful woman, but you started out as a little tub. Your mama could put you on the floor and you would not tip over because you're a regions, your head sitting on top of a big thing while you spun the Lazy Susan, eating all the Cheetos and the Doritos in the cabinet. Now you are like the nutritionist. That's not how you started, honey. I want to tell you, thank God you're in the church. You have nothing in your closet except clothes. But the blood is for you, and the blood's for you. The blood's not just for the new convert. The blood's for everybody. And you got to remember that the blood is for everybody. I'm glad you're dedicated to the gospel and to the doctrine and the apostolic doctrine. Yes, your babies ought to be that. Yes, hear me, your precious babies who bear no scars from the world or addictions, who have no skeletons in their closet, but they too were sinners. That's why we baptized them. And if you didn't teach them that they were sinners, then water baptism was nothing more than a Catholic ritual recomposed in the Pentecostal tradition. Water baptism in the name of Jesus was and is more than just taking on his name. It's, here it is, arise, be baptized, washing away your sins, the Bible says, calling on the name of the Lord. It's a washing. It's a burial in the name. It was the washing away of your sins. Even for 8-year-olds. Even for the second and third generation of the saints of God. And the reason why we lost our saturated worship and our fervency and our incessant need to reach the lost, because we forgot the weight of the past. But that was the righteousness of the Pharisees. Simon, did you not bother to honor the healer who made you healed and whole and gave you a communal meal? Lepers don't eat with the healthy people. Simon, hey Simon, you're eating this food with the one who healed you and you have not bowed before him? Simon, are you sitting casually while Jesus, who delivered you, restored you to normal life? Are you sitting casually and you didn't touch him and reach out and honor him without regard to care for him? Simon the leper, are you in this house, Simon the leper? Are there Simon the lepers here? Is there anybody healed here? Are we acting like we're healed? Did you think you got here by yourself? Did you think one day you woke up and said, you know what, I got a great thought. I've thought of this. I'll just go ahead and be saved. No, you did not. He did it for you. You ain't eating this food by yourself. You didn't come and eat this food by yourself. I'll tell you how you're eating it. It's because the one that you're sitting with is the one who made you whole. And you ought to do something right now to the King of Glory that heals you. You are in the house of the healed. I want to thank Grant Doherty for the thousands of practices, songs, singing, leadership that he has given this house. He is not here to sing for you. And he cannot take your place. His job is to lead us into worship. And none of the singers are here to entertain anybody. I'm glad they have harmony, and it's not just a joyful noise. There's a difference between playing skillfully and a joyful noise. You need me to help you with that? There are many people in this house that sing skillfully, but everybody can make a joyful noise. Now, if you can't sing skillfully, please enjoy your own joyful noise in the privacy of your shower. It's so offensive. I'm thankful that they're anointed, but he didn't come to sing for me. He did not come to entertain me. And when he gets behind this pulpit and he begins to lead the church, he's just saying, hey, I'm just going to sing a little bit like the Levites did when we were marching around the walls of Jericho. I'm just going to sing a little bit. Come on, join me. Because when we all get in this house, we're singing unto the Lord of glory. He is the King. We are not casual. We are not empty. We have a name, and the name is attached to where he brought us from. Then comes that other Mary. I cannot say definitively who she may be, but she's brought a dowry of a father who loved her somewhere back in her past. It was typical a father would put aside something of worth, because the worth of the alabaster box, this precious oil, an entire salary, it says, is evidence that somewhere in her past, her daddy loved her. He invested in her, but now her life has stolen her worth as this life can. Somehow it stripped her of her dignity, erased her self-worth. That other Mary, if so be, she's not invited. There is no seat at the table for her, no place setting. She has no right to enter. But you know, when people are desperate, they do things that other folks think or deem embarrassing. When you're desperate, you won't care. There's a lot of caring people. You're not really desperate. I mean, when you get desperate, you'll do anything. When you have no money and no food, no help, no encouragement. And when you're sick in your body and you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and you get desperate, you'll change. You'll break out of that perceived personality. As it was with Simon, the leper, who possibly forgot, if you don't break out, then you'll lose yourself. And you'll ignore the Lord. But if you do, you'll be like blind Bartimaeus, who sitting by the highway side was begging. And no one cared that he was begging. They knew he was a beggar. But when Jesus passed by and a great host of people walking out of Jericho, Simon the leper began to shout out. Blind Bartimaeus began to shout out. Blind Bartimaeus, he heard. And he said, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And the crowd didn't like that because people don't like desperate people. Churches are not equipped to deal with desperate people. Because we like everything kind of kosher. Because the desperate soul invades us. The desperate people expose the people who have lost their identity of their past. Yeah. You get a couple desperate people in the church, it'll mess up everybody. Oh, yes, it will. They'll be crawling on the floor and running down the front and laying on the prostrate. They'll say, "I gotta have Jesus." They'll interrupt everything. They'll say, "I know it's not my time, and I know I'm not invited, but I gotta have Jesus. So Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." But a lot of times, religiosity, if I could say it, it's what self-righteous, forgetful, blank religious people do. They say, Mark 10:48, many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. Blind Bartimaeus has nothing to lose, and that other Mary is the same. She's empty. Her soul is sorrowful. Maybe she is a woman of ill repute. Maybe she is wrecked, used up by darkness, sin, hurt, loss, the world. But she has come to Jesus to unseal the seal. She has come to break open the barrier. It is a man-made separation, keeping what she has to offer from the master. And Simon, he looks all sealed up. He looks locked up. He's forgotten who he was and who he used to be and what Jesus has done for him. He has not washed the feet of Jesus, and the Lord exposes him. There is no worship in Simon. There is no humility in Simon. He's just Simon now. But that other Mary is breaking open the ointment and pouring it on the head and the body of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit today is speaking to this church, both seeker and saved. The Spirit is calling for you to rise and then fall. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is your God. It is he who hath made us and not we ourselves. Worship him in the beauty of holiness. Fall down before him. Break open your sealed perceptions. Break through your pride. Break through your pride. Break open your heart. Remember that you were saved by the blood. That other Mary is messing with everybody in the house. Everybody knows she was not invited. She's not a guest. They were kind of wondering, why the waste? Why would you waste all of that? But Jesus said, leave her alone. Everybody's going to know about her. You got to leave her alone. She is a desperate woman, and what she's doing is anointing me. Yes, Simon, I walked in. Now, I healed you, but you didn't wash me. I saved you, but you didn't give me any recognition. You treated me like everybody else in the house. If the house is a healed house, it ought to say so. Did you forget your origin? Did you forget that you were redeemed by corruptible things? It was 1992, 93. I was preaching in Ohio, and there was a man there that was full out worship from the start to the finish, had come out of the prayer room after being there early. And and there was another person there. And I remember Pastor Stark telling me. He said, the difference between those two people is that that woman comes out of obligation. She'll never miss church. She has a badge. And early in Pentecost, you would get these metal badges and attendance badges, and then they had little hooks on them. You get another one. You could have a whole. It was like a military. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Thank you. A couple of saints. And she had all of that attached. She could pin them on to showcase her faithful attendance record. Now, she didn't really come to worship. She just went to Sunday school. Never missed Sunday school. She never really came to sanctuary. When she did, it was brief to make an appearance. And Pastor Stark told me once that the difference between those two people is that she has everything to save, and that guy over there has nothing to lose. You saved your dignity, your pride, your image, your status. Save your clothes. Save your fine hairdo. I'm talking to you now. Save. But that guy over there, he has nothing to lose. And the nothing to lose crowd always acts different than the people who have everything to save. That other Mary has a reminder for us that we were not a people, but now you are the children of the Most High God. And the Spirit says today, take caution to your casual approach. Heed the call of the Holy Ghost. Turn from punching the clock and running to the next thing. If need be, toil with your image until you defeat yourself. I'm doing it right now. I'm in the midst of toiling with myself because I need to defeat me. The devil don't scare me. I know there's a group of people walk around trying to see all kinds of mystical things and devils and demons. They exist. There is a reality that's just as great, maybe greater than the reality we're living in right now. I do understand spiritual warfare. I know spiritual warfare. I've been involved in spiritual warfare for a long time. I see things. I don't tell everybody all the stuff I see, but I do know this. I'm not going to spend the duration of my life rebuking the darkness. I'll tell you what I am going to do. I'm going to turn on the light. You can rebuke the darkness. I just say, turn on the light, turn on the light, turn on the light, turn on the light. Because darkness can't live in the light. The light hath no fellowship with darkness. All you've got to do is say, thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, for the blood. I thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I thank you, Jesus, for restoring me. Light's going on, light's going on, light's going on. And the devil has no standing when you turn on the name and the blood and the word. I don't know if I'm going to get through all the religious people, but I want to say to all of my new converts and all the people that have a hungry heart, all you've got to do is say, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. Sometimes you just thank him for something that has not happened. Don't wait until it happens. Thank him in advance. Praise him in advance. Shout in advance. Because you remember, he brought you somewhere. You are Simon the leper. You are blind, Bartimaeus. I was blinded, but now I see. But I still go by the name, blind Bartimaeus. You know what we need to do to save this world? You know how we can fill this house 5 times on Sunday and Saturday? I'll tell you how we do it. We tell everybody, we got a lot of former blind people in our church. We got leprosy everywhere. We got sickness everywhere. Healed. We got Fred the fornicator. Oh, I'm sorry. You don't need the iterations. I just want you to know, a lot of people are struggling. And when they look at you, they think they got it all together. You don't have it all together. Get that off your name. You got to go back to the identification of what the Lord has done for you. You just got to say, I was bought with the blood, but I know where I came from. Come on in. We're all the same. We are only saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Come on, you got to do battle with yourself until you defeat you. I'm not even done talking bad about myself. Yeah, you got all those badges? Well, I'm going to tell you about it. I know I shouldn't say it. We don't need no stinking badges. You think you're good? Well, here's what the Bible says about your righteousness. Now, just go do some research on the filthy rag. It is a nasty nothing. It's the gross. It's disgusting. And your righteousness is nothing but a filthy rag. You didn't earn it. You didn't get it by yourself. You didn't crucify yourself. You didn't go to the grave and you didn't raise your own body. But the Lord did it on Calvary and he brought you out. So I would just say, turn on lights, turn on lights, turn on lights. Come on, get out of that. That other Mary didn't have an invitation either. So if you think I'm not good enough to go there, nobody, listen, let me tell you, you're the one that I want to see. I want everybody who's desperate to act like the Lord saved you and that he can save you. Let me talk to all the people who say they're shy. I'm shy, I'm just backward. Well, okay. But the Lord of harvest is greater than your shyness. And he's making a demand on you. And let me just talk to all the people who are ambitious. You got a lot of stuff going on. And you're doing real well in life. You got no time for anything. Let me tell you, the Lord of harvest is greater than your ambition. Because the Lord has called this entire church to be in the field to reach the lost souls. So either you're in the field teaching, reaching, witnessing, or you're in his presence praising and worshiping. Those are the only two objectives of your whole life. And that other Mary is breaking open the treasure of her life, a year given in minutes. So I say, pour yourself out, pour yourself out. Don't save it. Don't value what you have greater than what God has given to you. You are in the house of the healed and you are healed. And the redeemed of the Lord needs to say so. I'm calling on all the Simon the lepers to stand to their feet and lift up their voice to God. If you know what I'm talking about, you lift up your hands, your voice, you shout out to God. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thy great salvation. I'm looking for a blind Bartimaeus. They don't care what anyone's saying. I'm looking for a blind Bartimaeus that when the crowd says that's not the right time, they say, hey, you don't understand me. I gotta worship him even more. Have mercy on me, oh God, according to your loving kindness. If you need to be healed, then just say, I plead the blood. I turn on the light. Oh, from your gut. Oh, from your innermost soul. Oh. Oh, rise and fall. Rise and fall. Give the Lord glory to his name. The healing of your home is here. The healing for your home is here. If you want it, the healing for your home is here. The healing for your marriage is here. The healing for your children. The healer is in the house. This is the house of the healed. Hasadaraba shatayaba. He kataraba shadayaba sataraba shatayaba. Yarabo sondorobo kayaba shandaraba sataraba hataraba. Yarabo shayaba sadaraba shatayaba sataraba. Forgive us, Lord, of thinking that we're good enough by ourselves. We've got to have you, Lord. Forgive us of being idle while the harvest is empty. No labors.